Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Today is a full Sunday. It's a big Sunday. Not only are we baptizing, but we are also remembering all those who have passed away this year at St. Albans. And we are also listening to this story about Lazarus. It is a big day in the church, and I'm grateful that you are all here. I know with that last-minute win last night, I was a little anxious. I thought we might go into overtime, but the fact that there's no overtime and that you got an extra hour of sleep, I am just so grateful that y'all decided to make it here this morning. And I'm more importantly grateful that you're here to witness Oliver becoming a part of the body of Christ. This morning, these are all the people that we are baptizing. Hazel at this hour is being baptized in the main church. Oliver is being baptized here. And then Samuel, Layla, Nellie, Jackson, Vivian, Ivy, Wren are all being baptized at the 11:15. And if you've never seen chaos come at 11:15... they're all babies. All of them are babies. So it is going to be an interesting, wonderful celebration. Probably loud, but I'm excited about that. So I just wanted you to know these are the people that we are praying for as we invite them to be a part of our church family. When we think of this story about Lazarus, we think about Lazarus. I mean, it is the focus. Think about the miracle that happened. And we all have somebody that we want to have a Lazarus moment. We want somebody in our lives or maybe something to come back to life. Maybe you have a spouse or a parent. Maybe a small child that died way too early. Or a grown child that got lost in life. Or a dear friend who died too soon. There are people that we want the Lazarus experience to happen so that we can witness that story. But that doesn't just apply to people. There are also things in our lives. Sometimes we want our self-confidence to come back. Maybe we want that job, that career that never really happened. We just need that phone call, that answer, that yes, that opportunity. Maybe it's our health. Maybe our health is not where we want it to be. It could be a relationship. We have things that we and people that we want to come back to life, to come back and to breathe and to give us hope. And I think that's part of our life as a Christian. Now, this story of Lazarus is a very well-known story. We always say, oh, there's a Lazarus moment, or we hear, oh, the Lazarus experience. But there's something else I think that is very beautiful, perhaps more tender in this story than the Lazarus experience. In our gospel reading today, we heard the very end of the story of Lazarus. It's all about chapter 11 and John, and then the beginning of chapter 12 also. And we always focus on Lazarus, but today I want us to focus on Jesus and what happens with Jesus in this story. There are 12 verses. And that's all our text is for today. And I'm about to show you a clip of a movie, and it is a little long, but I'm going to tell you that because I researched and looked and looked and looked for movies that showed what the scripture said about Jesus. And this is the only one I could find. And so I think it's worth the 2 minutes or so, and you can listen, and I would invite you to ask yourself, what was Jesus feeling in this time? We're working on it.
You come to bury the dead. Or you come to feed the mourners. You made a leper well. You made a cripple walk. Was it too much to ask that you keep my brother from dying? Why do you come now that he's dead? When you could have come while he lived? When he needed you? Why?
Your brother will rise again.
Rise? Yes, he will rise. On Judgment Day. And the resurrection of us all.
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, Mary?
If you had only been in here, I believe that Lazarus would not have died.
In this movie, we see Jesus weep. It might have been hard for you to see from where you are, but hopefully you were able to sort of get a glimpse of the emotion of Jesus as he realized that Lazarus was dead. As Lazarus's two sisters were coming up there bombarding him about, why did you not save our brother? There was a lot of emotion and the humanity of Jesus in this story. Jesus is authentically vulnerable. And the full glory of God is also seen in this same episode, the same scenario. We think about Lazarus coming back to life, but right before us, we have a Christ. We have Jesus who not only weeps and is lost and is struggling and suffering, but we also have a Jesus who is fully divine, saying, I am the resurrection, I am the way. And it's all in this story of life and death. Mary and Martha love their brother Lazarus. He dies and Jesus is aware, but he doesn't seem to be in any hurry. He kind of lets him, you know, smolder in the cave for a while, get nice and fragrant, as they say. Mary goes out to meet Jesus at the place where Martha had spoken to him, and they're all weeping. Even those around are seeing the weeping. I mean, we saw in the video all the people behind. It is a cry fest. Everybody's crying. And if there were Kleenex, you'd go through boxes after boxes after boxes, because there is a serious sadness in what has happened. And in contrast to what Jesus has done before for other people, why did he not do it for Lazarus before he died? Lazarus was clearly loved by many because there was a huge gathering, not only right there in that scene, but also on the hill. Jesus sees all this sadness in his eyes and in his heart. And the scripture tells us in verse 35 that Jesus wept. Now, the scripture that we read today has a few more words, but truthfully, Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the entire New Testament. So if you ever have to answer a question, like at a Bible, you know, program like this, I used to do that when I was in high school, and you would do this, and Jesus wept, you got it, John 11:35. But before that verse, there's also this one that our scripture said, disturbed in spirit. Now, that word disturbed, I mean, that has so many layers. It's not a nice word. But But if you look at the Greek translation, that is more true to what we heard in this video, that Jesus groaned in his spirit because it was troubled, groaned. I know that Halloween was a few days ago and there's a lot of groaning and moaning, but that is very different than what I'm talking about in this text. If you've lost somebody in your life, if you've been accused or if shame is washing over you, then you know what this groaning is about. It disrupts you. It disturbs you. It bothers you. And it prevents you from breathing deeply the Holy Spirit. And again in verse 38, Jesus groaned again in himself as he came to the tomb. Realize that all this emotion and display of Christ's humanity before he even sees the tomb. Now I'm going to go through this one. This is a picture, you might not be able to say it, but this is the transfiguration. So Jesus is human and then is lifted up. So right here in this picture, we have a combination of human and divinity all in the same picture. But I want to now show you a human picture of Jesus. There are lots of them out there, just for your information. But I chose one that was very solemn and very plain. It could be any person out there. But really, this is designated as Jesus. But it could have been anybody, because there's no sign of cross or Bible in this story. But then there's also this part of Christ in this story that we heard today. The divinity of Christ is truly in this passage. He spoke to Mary and Martha, which was beyond the norms in the protocol. They called him Lord. The crowd recalled some of his previous miracles, and Jesus invites us to see the glory of God here in this life. Christ is assured. God always hears our prayers. But he says this so that others would believe. He knows that God hears our prayers. The holiness of Christ is seen throughout this story. Jesus shows up in this story and in our lives as fully human and fully divine. In a few minutes, we're going to baptize little Oliver. Now, I've known sweet Oliver since this summer when he came to Vacation Bible School and before. He was wonderful in Vacation Bible School, and he has been eager to be baptized for some time. And I'm thankful that today he will be grafted onto the body of Christ. In his baptism, we are all invited to see our humanity and to see our divinity, to see how we are created in the image of God, though we suffer and are broken. We are pulled together into the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful day in the life of the church. Another thing we're going to do is we're going to remember all those who have passed away, those who have taught us with their lives how to follow Jesus, how to be with Jesus, how to act like Christ in this world. So we remember those who have gone before us, who have set the path, who have experienced that new life. I'm grateful for the resurrection and the healing of Lazarus. And we can be even more grateful that we have a God that comes to be like us, to live an earthly life, who is fully God and fully human, and gives us the promise of resurrection. And today, as we see Oliver baptized, my prayer is that you will see the divinity and the humanity of Christ, of Oliver, and of all of ourselves. Amen.